Community Regional Affairs will now come to order. Let the record reflect, it's 8:05 on February 9th. With us today, we have Representative Peacock, Representative Mark Newman, Mark Meyer, Representative Gabrielle Adu, Co-Chair Thomas, and myself, Kurt Olson. First order of business today will be House Bill 378, and I believe we have a committee substitute. Or do we?
Yes, we do.
What would you like to do with it?
I'd like to move CS, Mr. Chair, CS24-LS1486/F version.
Slash F will be the working document today. And good morning, Casey.
Good morning. For the record, I'm Casey Schroeder-Hotch, staff to Rep. Thomas. In 1982, the Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve was created, and it's located just north of Haines along the Haines Highway. And the preserve is most famous for its large concentration of bald eagles. In your packets, you have a little brochure that explains the preserve, and it also has a detailed map if you're interested in the exact boundaries. Along with the preserve, an advisory council was also created to help develop management plans for the preserve. The council has 12 seats. Currently, one of those seats is dedicated to the mayor of the city of Haines. However, since then, the city of Haines and the Haines borough have consolidated, so there is no longer a mayor of the city of Haines, so that seat is open. So CS for House Bill 378 dedicates that open seat to a member of a nonprofit recreational group that has been appointed by the borough mayor. And so that's basically it. It's just kind of a housekeeping tool, and I'd be happy to try to answer any questions the committee might have.
Representative Thomas.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, just for the information of the committee, I am one of the designated seats and have been designated seats off and on since 1982. Presently, I'm the chairman of Chilkat Indian Association, which is a designated seat, but have not attended any meetings. So just for the information of the committee.
And I'd like to let the record reflect that we've been joined by Representative Sussman. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
If you want any additional input.
Go ahead.
Mr. Okay, thanks, Mr. Chair. The idea is to, as everybody knows, put a bill in there to get your bill number and get the hearing started and then work through the process. We had enough response of designating the seat to the Chilkat Snowburners who, in my research and talking to people in the community, there were very few local, like a very strong local nonprofit user groups. And so we put the Snowbirders in there, which is an organized group, and they've been there for almost 30 years and have traditional uses within the preserve because they have an existing oval track there, and they use all the logging roads that were previously built through the preserve prior to the creation of the preserve and run up and down the river within the preserve. As in talking in consultation with the borough mayor, now after their consolidation, we came upon the language to have the borough mayor pick the seat of a non-profit user group. Now, we don't know who they all may be because we don't know how many non-profit user groups are, but the borough also qualifies as a non-profit user group, and they do have a recreational department within the borough. It could be the sport fishing group, it could be the ski group in Haines, it could again be the snow machine club, it could be hikers, it could be any nonprofit group that apply to the borough mayor in Haines. Now the borough mayor changes like anybody knows at time to time, and so whenever that seat's up, it'd be at the wishes of the borough mayor to make that position available. I see in the written testimony it's protection of the integrity. Just to offset some of the comments may come is that they wanted a fishing organization on there. I felt that with the three native groups on there, you protect subsistence user groups. You have U.S. Fish and Wildlife. You have Alaska Department of Fish and Game. You have the Park Service. And you have and DNR. Now, say DNR doesn't do anything, but the DNR does have the Forest Practices Act. But also remember, there's no logging or any development allowed within the preserve. So I felt that, you know, it would be better to have a group that's in the preserve probably 4 or 5 months out of the year or longer during the winter season. So that is why we came up with the CS and where we're at today. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. You've mentioned the federal people that are on that board, and you mentioned the borough, but you said 12 people, and I'm wondering, are there any other kind of public or private
entity, yes,
or whatever positions there?
They have a commercial user group. And that's very broad. It could be probably right now the seats have been filled by, I'm trying to find it. There's a list in your packet here.
Oh, there
of,
is.
Of the people. And there's environmental seat, designated environmental seat, 3 native seats, fishing game, Upper Lynn Canal Advisory, again, fish group, and the mayor right now, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And then there's business and industry, which is very broad. Again, I think, you know, from my understanding, I don't believe any fishermen have applied for that one. And Division of Forestry, I cover them in Klukwinik. So all we're trying to do is fill a vacancy that was created because of the consolidation of the borough and the city.
Representative Ledoux.
I think Representative Thomas just answered the question, but I just want to make sure. So if this bill did not become law, then that simply means that there'd be a continued vacant seat from the mayor of the city of Haines, because that no longer exists.
Yes. What it does is it creates a loss for the community on the board. Right now with the borough and the city consolidated, the Haines people lose an extra seat that where they have, I guess you have major input with what goes on within the boundaries of the preserve.
Follow-up question? I see that these are ex officio members of the advisory council. Are ex officio members voting members?
I'm not sure. I think some are and some aren't. I'm not sure how it goes. I think they do on this one, though. Casey said yes.
Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair Tom.
Dig.
Also, Representative Thomas, I guess he was one to ask this. We just received, there was some this information here from the birding community. They're concerned about HB 378. Can you address those concerns? So those people aren't left unanswered, I guess.
Well, for one, they didn't realize that the public seat was being dropped was because of consolidation. We're not replacing, and they're saying replacing a public seat. We're not. Perhaps we're trying to put in a place, I guess we could call it replacing, but that seat's vacant, and we're trying to put on a person from the community that is impacted within that area. So special interest, every one of these groups are special interest groups as far as I'm concerned. You know, nobody would complain or say anything unless they were. So by putting in a nonprofit user group, a recreational user group, again, will be special interest, because it all depends on where you're in Haines. You have to realize, or even statewide, depends on where you sit, you're always going to be considered a special interest group. So this does nothing to, impose any action, reduce the size. There's no bill, nothing in the bill that talks about shrinking the preserve. The preserve was created because there was a threat to take it and put it into federal hands, and the state reacted by creating the Bald Eagle Preserve. And you have to also know that the Bald Eagle Preserve is the only one in Alaska. It's not a park, and it has less restrictions than a preserve, than a park. In order to have the locals continue to use it as traditional uses.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It sounds like things are well under control and working. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I've looked through my stuff, and I don't have that list of the board members. Is there a possibility of getting a copy? That'd be great. Thank you.
Let's find the support. Yeah, mine's the second page behind the support tab.
Well, that's his. It's
the original package.
Oh, it's in the wrong place.
It's probably the original package.
Well, I put through my stuff. She's going to get one. I know it's wrong. Here's the stuff I have on this, and this does not include it. Well, she's getting a copy right now. This ain't his. That's not what I was saying. That is not mine. Thank you. Guys, it's okay.
Representative Cott, like you're lost in thought.
Just waiting on your next move, Mr. Chairman. Anybody in line to testify in this bill, or are we ready to deal with it?
Yeah, I think we're going to, I think we'll just move it out right now.
I'm kidding. Warning me to tears here.
I think we're going to go off-site right now. We've got three people that would like to testify.
Two consecutive persons.
Pardon me?
Two.
Rob Goldberg, good morning. Rob Goldberg?
Yes, can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Could you please limit your testimony to 3 minutes, and could you identify both yourself and any group that you might represent?
My name is Rob Goldberg. I've been a resident of Haines for 22 years, and although I'm a member of various groups, including the Haynesboro Planning Commission, I'm speaking for myself this morning. And I would just like to say that the purpose of the Bald Eagle Preserve legislation was to protect the eagles and the salmon upon which they feed. And I'm not sure that a seat on the board for a special interest group would be consistent with those goals of the preserve legislation. Since this seat was formerly a municipal seat for the city of Haines, I would suggest instead that the seat go to a borough assembly member instead of a special interest group, and that would keep the seat as a municipal representation seat. I would like to say also that the preserve has more significance than just to locals. This is a national issue. There are national groups who are looking at this very carefully, including the National Audubon Society. And I would suggest that you proceed with the idea of keeping the original legislation in mind of preserving the eagles and the salmon upon which they feed, and instead of putting a special interest group on the board, to keep it as municipal representation with the borough assembly. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions for
Goldberg?
Mr. Goldberg?
Yes.
Any committee questions? Come on, Pete. Representative Sisma?
Well, I guess I don't know that I was satisfied on the ex officio members being voting members or not. Is everyone on this board that we have listed a voting member?
I personally don't know the answer to that question. I've never served on the board, so I don't know.
Ask Jerry Lewinsky.
Jerry Lewinsky, could you help us on that one?
I think they do. I think they all vote. The ones
I know I have one comment.
I can research it and get back on that. It's my understanding that they do vote, but don't hold me to that one until I get everything in front of me.
I know I'm looking at the current list of the members, and it appears that everybody is representing a special interest at this point in time on the board. I think we'll go to Peter Gall now. Good morning, Peter. Peter Gall? Peter Gall.
Hello, can you hear me? Hello.
Morning.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much. I'll try to keep it brief. This is Peter Gall. I guess I'm about a 32-year resident of Haines. I served in the State House from 1982 until 1990, and had the honor of chairing the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, so I'd like to thank you all for giving me a moment to speak. With regard to questions that were asked, all of the members of the advisory board vote. I have the list. If you don't, do you want to hear it?
We have it, Peter. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. And I guess there are two primary issues and one brief bit of background. The preserve was created in 1982 after years of resource conflict in Haines. And it was an agreement that did include, as Mr. Thomas stated, direct interest by the federal government in the area, tremendous amount of national attention from Audubon and other groups. And it was not created by itself. It was created as a small enclosure within the much larger Haines State Forest. The Haines State Forest is a multiple-use area available for recreation, logging, and mining, and so forth. And the Eagle Preserve is a unique area withdrawn from multiple use for the specific purpose of protecting in perpetuity this salmon habitat on which both the eagles and the people depend. And so the statute was set up with that very, very specific purpose. Commercial activities were allowed after 1987 in a statutory change that had universal support because those activities are limited to things that do absolutely no damage to the primary purposes. And another thing that is protected in the preserve is subsistence and traditional uses. The problem that we're facing with this bill, and I'm praying that the remarks of the sponsor are what he means. In other words, statements have been made by the sponsor that he's going to reduce the size of the preserve. These are public statements. And it's attracted a lot of national attention already. Then with this bill coming in, it is sort of telling people, yes, there's a real threat. And the reason it's perceived that way is because, and this is where I'm hoping that the statement made before the committee is accurate, that the intent is to be housekeeping. To make it housekeeping, if you look at this list of people on the board, you see that there are state officials engaged in managing, you know, state affairs, the fish and game, forestry, and parks. You see the Klukwan Inc., which is an industrial entity of Klukwan. You see the Chilkat Indian Village, which is the governing body of Klukwan. You see the Chilkoot Indian Association representing that group of Alaska Native people in Haines. You see the mayor of Haines, and at one time the mayor of the Haines City. And then you see the community members, all appointed by the governor, the Lynn Canal Advisory, Fish and Game Advisory Committee. And,
excuse me, Peter, you got about 30 seconds.
All right, 30 seconds. To take an elected public official representing all the people of the community and replace it with a special interest group appointed by the mayor, who has no power to appoint people to a state board and commission, is a clear effort to undermine public control of the preserve and replace it with designated special interest control preferred by the sponsor. It is a clear attack on the preserve. It is the opening battle in a national conflict. It is going to damage the economics of Haines by putting us into a conflict when we don't need one. If this is truly a housekeeping bill, then retain a municipal official in the seat being vacated by a municipal official, and make it housekeeping, and make it honest, and make it true. Otherwise, it will be perceived by all concerned, the subsistence people who have been left out of this special interest group, the commercial fish people who have been left out of this special interest group. Do not put a special interest group to replace a municipal publicly elected official. It's an attack on the municipality, it's an attack on the preserve, and it's going to lead to a lot of problems, and they are unnecessary problems. If the sponsor means to just do housekeeping, then let's just do housekeeping. Let's get a publicly elected person to replace that seat and nobody else, and then there isn't going to be any problem. We're going to go forward in peace and harmony. I thank you for your consideration, I wish you a good day.
Any questions for Mr. Gall? Thank you, Mr. Gall.
I have a question.
Representative Newman.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Dahl, is the mayor of the Haynesboro an elected public official?
Yes, the mayor of the Haynesboro is an elected position. The mayor of the Haynesboro is out of town. He has not had an opportunity to consult with the borough assembly on this. This legislation was sponsored fully knowing that this elected official was out of town and that no deliberation has been taking place with the assembly. Likewise, the Fish and Game Advisory Committee has not met. Pardon me, the Chilkat Bald Eagle Advisory Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Gall.
Has not met to review this either.
Co-Chair Thomas, do you have?
Just a comment then. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Haynes Borough Mayor has had input, and that's why we do have this seat being appointed by the Borough Mayor. And his way through Juneau here, that's when we sat down and came up with the CS. So,
Borough Mayor spoke to me last night and was completely unaware of the language, except to say that you were going to have him appoint a recreation seat.
Well, this Mr. Gall, you know the process. I don't have the chair right now. I spoke with him on his way through here, and I have my staff who was in the room with us. And we came up with the language, and this is the language we came up with, that he would appoint the seat, and he was in agreement with that.
You've heard my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Gall. I think we're going to open it up to testimony from the room. Pete Lapham. Morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Please state your name and any affiliation with the group.
My name's Pete Lapham. I originally signed up as a member of the Chilkat Snowburners, and at that time I wasn't aware of the change in the language. I was going to speak directly for the Snowburners, but recreational, I would speak for that. I've was born and raised in Haynes. I've lived there for 60 years, and I've been a recreational user as well as a worker in the preserve for a good portion of my life. One of the traditional uses is recreation, and it's a non-confrontational type of a position as far as I'm concerned. It's it hasn't been represented, and I believe it's a good choice. I think that there's, and I know that there's many people in the valley that use it for recreation, and it would give them a voice.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sir, I'd just like to comment a little bit on the snow machine group that you are going to support or you're part of.
Mm-hmm.
As a recreational user, and I like to recreate in the outdoors quite a bit myself, and I'm under the opinion that folks that do that are probably they're very aware of the environment that's around there and want to make sure that it's taken care of. I'm sure you probably feel the same about that. Do you feel that your group can represent, or if somebody from the Snow Machine group is a nonprofit recreational group, was appointed to this board, I'm sure that your concerns to make sure that the bald eagles are protected, this recreational area is protected, this preserve. Can you speak to that a little bit about your concerns? Do you feel that you can protect it?
Sure. As snow machiners, and again, I guess I should rephrase that, recreational users, we are very conscious of the preserve as far as when we're in it. One of the things that we do is we tend to police it for debris and trash when we're going through it, our own, and if we find other stuff on the trail and things like that. As a snow machine person, we work well with all other recreational groups too, skiers and stuff like that. A lot of times we have made trails for the skiers. And we've also been involved in rescue type incidents where skiers or snow machiners are involved in the preserve and also out of it. And I'm not sure, does that answer what you were asking?
Thank you,
Representative Newman.
Yes, sir. And I'm glad you kind of spoke to the point that as a group,
you make sure that you work together to police the area, to clean it up, and make sure that it's done. And I think that the that group power is much, it's better than just the power of one person out there trying to do that. And I commend you for your efforts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yep, Representative Ledoux.
What's a snow burner?
It's a it's a snow machine rider. It's the name was came was made in approximately 1969 when the organization actually became a full organization.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lapham.
Okay.
Next, we'll have John Schroer. Good morning, Mr. Schroer.
It's John Shane.
Shane?
Yeah. And
apologies.
I appreciate the opportunity to speak to the committee this morning. Thank you very much. I'm a senior scientist with Audubon Alaska. I've been a wildlife biologist in Alaska for 30 years, 20 with the state and 10 with Audubon. The National Audubon Society was deeply involved in formation of the Alaska Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve in 1982, and the advisory council established by the Alaska legislature has served all interests well for more than 20 years. The proposed legislation, of course, there's a change that I hadn't seen until just a few minutes ago, we felt would upset the balance of interest represented on the advisory council by replacing the seat of an elected official with the seat of a special interest. The Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve exists because the Chilkat River's international importance for bald eagles and other fish and wildlife, and Haines in the state of Alaska have shown great foresight in seeking its protection. Since 1982, the preserve has become a valuable asset to the community in Alaska and brings tangible economic benefits to the community in the region. We believe that the advisory council, as it was set up, has been a very good steward of this area. We appreciate that work, and we're concerned about taking a seat for an elected official and allocating it to a special interest. I think the change is a step in the right direction, and we appreciate that. We would feel more comfortable if there was a mechanism to have a broad public interest on that committee rather than a special interest. So that's, you know, this change this morning is a bit of a surprise. And again, a step in the right direction, but we having the seat be an elected official and now being appointed as a special interest, we're a bit uncomfortable with that. So we would like the committee to consider how to address that that issue. The Chilkat Bald Eagle Preserve is certainly a treasured resource of the community in the state of Alaska, and it is one of the but it is the most significant bald eagle concentration in the world, so there's quite a national interest as well. Thank you for hearing our concerns.
Any questions for Mr. Shane? Thank you very much. Next will be Beth Peluso. How'd I do on your name?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Good job.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Beth Peluso, and I live here in Juneau, or actually on Douglas. I am an avid birder, and I am an active member of the local Audubon Society group, but I'm here representing myself just as an individual and as somebody who has traveled to Haines specifically to attend the Bald Eagle Festival. I went for the first time in 2004 and have a very clear memory of standing on the shore of the river and counting over 300 eagles without moving my feet, just scanning with binoculars. And I made a comment to a man standing next to me because I was so astonished that I could see that many eagles right there in front of me. And he lived in Haines, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, it's kind of a slow year, which surprised me because that's more eagles than I've ever seen in my entire life in the space of about 2 minutes. And so I'd just like to represent people that come and travel to Haines specifically for this amazing resource that you have here, and to remind the committee that the reason that this preserve was created was because this is the place in the world for the highest concentration of bald eagles, which just happens to be our national symbol as well, that it's an international treasure, and this is something that should be kept for future generations and for tourism and for all of those reasons to draw people to Haines. I stay there. I ate at the restaurants. I spent money in gift shops. This is a really big resource for this community, and I would really like to see it protected. The reason that this was made separate from the state park was specifically to protect the eagles and the salmon because it is this amazing, unique place. And I would really like to strongly recommend some of what some of the other people have said already. I don't want to repeat them too much, but that this original, I haven't seen the change in the bill. It wasn't available to me this morning, so I'm kind of winging it from what you have said. But I really think that there should be some sort of municipal person or somebody representing the public in general. I don't think, and you know, speaking as an Audubon member for a second, as a special interest member myself, I really think that it does not serve the purpose of the preserve to have a special interest group doing this. This is not a multiple use area. Specifically, it's for the eagles and the salmon. I understand that there are traditional uses. Those were included in there, and I don't think that having a municipal representative will negate those traditional uses. Those are still there. It sounds like that they've been doing a good job of, from the Snowburners representative this morning, it sounds like they've been doing a good job of keeping the place maintained, but I think that this should still be a representative for all of the communities, including people who don't necessarily live in Haines. Thank you.
Any questions for, would you entertain some questions? Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Peluso, so are you suggesting that if an elected official is appointed onto this and instead of, you know, I think people get hung up on this term special interest group, and, you know, I certainly feel that this member who spoke earlier, who's lived and grown up in Haines for more than 60 years, certainly has the best interest of those eagles at heart in the preservation of this. Are you saying that, and even the gentleman before that, Mr. Shane, are you saying that if an elected official is down there, that he should not appoint anybody that belongs to a group? I mean, if a mayor if this was changed to say that it's the mayor still or an elected official is on there, can this elected official not appoint anybody who belongs to a group such as the Snowmaking Group?
Well, I guess my concern would be that if you have this person that's appointed who represents a specific slice of, you know, of the users of the preserve, then because the position before was somebody that was accessible and responsible to the entire community, to me that's only taking a slice of the people that before were represented. And to me, I think that's a problem. And so, like I said, since I don't have the full text in front of me, it was not made available to me in advance. It wasn't available outside when I came in to sign up. I haven't been able to read the whole text, but those are my concerns. And I don't know that they're addressed by this bill.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. Kathy Wasserman.
No, that's solid waste.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there anybody else in the room? Didn't mean to wake you up, Kathy.
I was looking at his list and I knew.
Is there anybody else in the room that cares to testify on this bill? Please join us. Please state your name and affiliation.
I'm Representative Peggy Wilson, and I'm just here to represent myself, I guess, on this bill. I hadn't planned at all to speak about this, but I kind of hear that I think that there's a little bit of fear of what might happen if recreation, or there's a lot of noise in the area, that it will make a difference with the eagles and maybe they won't come. But I grew up, and I just have to say this, I grew up in Iowa, and everybody knows that Iowa is a very much a farming community or farming state, and there's all kinds of highways and interstates and all that type of thing. But when I grew up, there was not one eagle anywhere in Iowa. And now, when I go back home, I cannot believe it. They are all over the place. And there's all these highways and machines going on and tractors and all kinds of things. And there's not very many rivers. Well, I mean, there are rivers, but I mean, they're not like in the preserve where it's really nice. So I guess what I wanted to say is that I think eagles are a lot more resilient than people think, and a little bit of noise here and there and people aren't going to scare them away, because the people are all over the state of Iowa, and they're multiplying like crazy. So that was my only comment.
Any questions for Representative Wilson? I'll let you off the hook. Thank you very much. I think we'll close it to testimony now and bring it back to the committee. Representative Cisna?
Mr. Chair, and my question would be to the sponsor, Representative Co-Chair Thomas. And I guess what my question would be, and it took me a while to sort of, I've had this feeling like there's something about this. And the something about this in my mind is, in this bill, we talk about there's elected officials. It doesn't name the elected official. It says that slot. And I would assume I don't have the statutes here, but I would assume that the statutes don't name specific groups, and maybe I'm wrong, but Mr. Yeah, and that's the piece I want to know. We're naming a specific group, and I don't have a problem with that specific group serving on this, but it's supposed to be appointed by the mayor, and with a new mayor, when this position becomes vacant again after the duration of their term, you want the process in these boards to reflect the local community. That's why you have those seats. And and naming the specific group doesn't allow there to be in the statutory language itself. Doesn't really give a lot of flexibility, is what, and that's a question. I'm wondering if the other positions, specific groups, have been mentioned in all of the
yes,
board seats.
Through the chair, Representative Sisner, yes, they are. They're all listed as to who, what groups. They don't say what person, but like every group that's listed here, Chilcat Indian Village, Upper Lynn Canal Fishing Game, they're all within the bill. And all this does is remove the borough, the city of Haines mayor, and replaces it with a designee from the mayor, borough mayor of Haines.
A follow-up question, if I may, Mr. Chair, and Representative Thomas, the conservation organization member is kind of a, you know, if you're talking balance, that would be the balance person here. Is that conservation organization specifically named as the member in the statutory language for this?
No, that it's conservation group, which is very broad, and this time it's Lynn Canal Conservation Group. It could be probably any other conservation group.
And so I guess that might be my thinking is, why wouldn't you maybe want a recreation group, not a conservation group, a recreation group, as the alternative, so that it leaves some, it makes it equal in terms of it allows the mayor to be the person who decides on the group, reflecting.
It is. It's in the bill. It does say that a member of the board of directors of a Haines nonprofit recreational group. It could be any group.
Oh, the CS.
Yes, the CS.
I do not have the CS.
Specifically that.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'd like the record reflect we've been joined by Representative Salmon. Good morning, Representative Salmon. Representative Newman, you had a question?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was just going to mention, for the sake of Representative Sisna, that's what the CS does, is it takes out Chilcat Snowburners and puts in non-profit recreation groups.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had my old version.
Representative Newman?
That was it.
Representative Ledoux.
So I just want to make sure here that in the original bill, back whenever it was formulated, a recreational user group was not listed as one of those groups.
Right.
That's correct.
Does anybody know why?
Representative Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I was here at the time actually lobbying this bill, and maybe it was an unintended oversight, or maybe they felt that business and industry and conservation organization group would do that. But since then, you've had, you know, more than one group, and concerned by the borough mayor that they have a Parks and Rec person in Haines. So that's the reason we're looking at doing it this way rather than statewide, I think, it, or even nationwide. I think the problem that I have, well, I'll just stick to the question, and we'll get in when we close testimony and or answer the questions first, and I'll get into mine.
Representative Salmon.
So the original purpose is to, what is the original purpose of switching over? I mean, what was the original, I thought they combined the city and the borough?
Yes.
That's what they did?
Yes. So we have one empty seat. Or you could leave it vacant, but I feel that the community of Haines needs representation within the Bald Eagle Preserve when you look at the list of groups that are from the outside, I would call it, to leave balance there. And it just creates balance when you put a user group, recreational user group in there.
Okay.
Any other questions? Representative Cott.
Mr. Chairman, I guess this is for the sponsor. There's 12 members in this group. One right now is one of the positions is vacant. It would appear to me that 11 is much more manageable when you're dealing with coming up with conclusions so you don't end up in gridlock. But having said that, these terms are for two-year terms. Are they staggered, or do they all come up for expiration and reappointment at the same time?
I believe a couple of them come up at the same time. Most of them are staggered.
And the function of this group is to assist the department in developing and monitoring a management plan for the preserve. That's their function. That's their sole role in life, per the statute.
It is. This is an advisory board, and it's run very well. I've been on it myself for off and on several years. And you say they get a lot of seats here, but I have to tell you that 50% of the time I don't believe they get a quorum. People don't show up. There's no incentive to it. The people just, you know, for our weather, all the meetings are held in Haines. You know, I can't even get home on the weekends because it snows so much. So, you know, then this was and still is a good way to I'll go into it when we get in the end of his closing comments, but it's been working fine, like people said, and I think this is the one other way to protect the community from outside influences. And the balance of the mayorship moves around. You know, I don't see where people say it's a political designated seat because the mayor could be, who knows what side they're on. This mayor we have right now, you don't know where he's coming from. So, and that's the way that should be. You know, who they designate and put in that seat is up to the mayor. It's not going to be me or anybody else. Anybody can apply if they belong to the group.
Mr. Chairman, was there any consideration then, Representative Thomas, for what was suggested, that is the mayor's nominating or selecting somebody from the city council to fill that seat?
Well, he can if they belong to a recreational user group. What we're trying to do is, again, but it's multi-purpose, you know, contrary to what the one speaker said. The reason you have a preserve is because of the multiple use area in there and around it. You have logging roads, existing logging roads that go within through the preserve, and you can have anywhere from up and down the highway is within the preserve. And those eagles do not move. I spent 17 years in the village of Cluckwan there during the discussion of the bald eagles. And those eagles rarely move unless somebody gets out and disturbs them with their camera even. They'll move before a big log truck runs through there. And there's, like I said, logging roads all the way through the preserve, the whole length of it. So they're tough old birds, you know. They don't move for much for anything, and they're very rarely disturbed.
Representative Ledoux.
Yes. Representative Thomas, was there any consideration given to the thought of perhaps expanding the board one seat, replacing the mayor of Haines with a position selected by the mayor, a city, borough assembly, another municipal official, but then expanding it so that there would be a designated seat for recreational users, which seems to be something that was missing in the original statute.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chair, in reading former Representative Gall's testimony, you know, he wanted the seat selected or voted on by the Borough Assembly, which the Borough Assembly can vote for that position and give the name to the Borough Mayor to move forward. So I can't see where the problems are here, but, you know, they already have a hard time making a quorum. You add another seat, that just means they're going to be one less or one seat further away. Most of these people, if you know them and you know the groups, have more things to do than to go to a meeting. They're meeting right now, I believe, or 9 or 10 o'clock this morning. And a lot of people are trying to make things happen and keep their businesses going. So I think it'll just burden it down. But again, the seat is by appointment of the borough, and the borough assembly by local ordinance. You know, we all sit on the CNRA, can't pass the ordinance that the seat will be elected by the borough assembly. Again, if they're within a nonprofit user group in there, and that's pretty broad. I mean, then you got the Sportsman Association, you got the skiers, you got the snow machiners, you've got, you know, whoever. You got Audubon, who's probably in there viewing the birds in the fall. I think this is as broad as I can try to make the bill and still try to protect the integrity of the community and having a lot of oversight in what happens within the community.
Any other questions? What is the will of the committee? Representative Newman.
Chair, I move yes for House Bill 378, 24 LS 1486 /F from committee.
With individual recommendations.
With individual recommendations.
So be it. It's out of here.
On all these.
Representative Wilson, I believe you have a bill for us.
You don't have a CS?
You need one? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Representative Peggy Wilson, and I have House Bill 392, version F, in front of you. And this bill will allow a community or a group of communities to create a public corporation to deal with waste management. It's modeled after the Port Authority statutes and would authorize the formation of solid waste authorities for waste management. Each Alaskan across the state produces about 6.5 to 7 pounds of solid waste every day. And for Alaska, that is over 200 tons per day. And for Southeast regions, that's 250 tons a day, or over 90,000 tons a year. Now, the landfills in the Southeast are starting to fill, and many of them have already. So we've seen these landfills or waste-to-energy plants and incinerators close over the last 10 years. A lot of them have had to close. Some of the communities in Southeast have resorted to shipping their solid waste by barge to landfills in the lower, they call them super landfills in the lower 48. Because of the high cost of developing a regional solid waste management facility, no one community can afford to do this. It's just too costly. Recycling and solid waste disposal is expensive, and the communities in Southeast are paying anywhere from $77 per ton, and some of them are actually clear up to are paying $220 a ton to have their solid waste shipped out to the lower 48. So, and at the same time, when you have numbers of people, it really makes a difference. For instance, in Anchorage, it only costs $40 a ton to deal with their solid waste. Where in Southeast Alaska, it's just tremendously a lot higher than that. So collectively, the communities in Southeast that ship solid waste to the South shipped 23,000 tons out each year. Now, this does not include the 30,000 tons that Juneau produces. Some small communities in Southeast have landfills that are nearing capacity, while others have
actually have improper or unpermitted dumps that they are currently using. So House Bill 392 would provide a way for the communities to come together to form an authority to do what one community is unable to do. Working together, they will be able to create economies of scale, reduce administrative costs, and afford a state-of-the-art waste processing facility. The authority will also help the regions by keeping the money in Alaska rather than having it spent, you know, all the money going to the lower 48. So this bill is modeled after the Port Authority. It requires each municipality's vote, all their voters, to approve to join the authority. It's optional. Each community can or doesn't have to, depending on whatever they decide. The authority has an independent legal existence to the municipalities. So once it's formed, it can issue bonds, borrow money, enter into contracts. And the board will be responsible for recreating bylaws and regulations, and it will govern that authority. And upon creation of the authority, that authority will decide where the regional facility will be located and what kind of technologies will be used. For instance, it could include materials recovery, which it would be recycling. It may be state-of-the-art landfills. It may be thermal reduction, waste to energy, or space for composting, and possibly an area to treat oily soils. And that would be all determined by the authority itself. So this bill just provides a mechanism that will be useful, actually, all over Alaska. I have focused on the issues in my region that have, but it could be, you know, for other regions of the state that are in the same boat. So there are quite a few people online and here to testify about this bill, but if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair Olson. Representative Wilson, the information says it prohibits any authority from levying any tax. So I don't know the meaning of that. I'm assuming that first you could explain how it's going to be funded, and then I think that that's meant in there, and I think it's a good thing, that if a person doesn't want to have their garbage collected by the community, they can opt out so that they're not forced into it like some LIDs or local improvement districts are, where the majority of the people, 51% of the people, has something in a group, and everybody else, even if you don't want to join it, you're stuck paying for it whether you're wanted or not. And people opt out. Do they have to do this? I think they're not letting it.
Actually, the authority has nothing to do with what the municipality itself does. They have their own rules and regulations already, and the authority would just be an avenue for the municipalities from the dock to wherever the authority is, whatever site it decides, so that it would just take care of each municipality's garbage, you might say. And that would make a difference. Each municipality, some municipality might have a site now that they use, and it's got plenty of room, so they don't want to join it right now. A good example would be Juneau. Juneau has their own. It's 30,000 tons a year, I think it is, or 30,000 tons. But within the next 5 years, they're going to start seeing that's going to be filling, and so they might want to join later on, but right now they probably wouldn't want to. So it's just an option for each community.
Representative Newman.
Representative Wilson, I guess the answer to that is an individual in your community isn't forced to pay to do this?
No.
Good. Thank you.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I actually I have not read every word in the bill. I'm sorry. Because actually my question really really is a question that maybe you can answer. This is, it may be in here. I don't know if you're aware, if you've ever read the book, The Power Broker. I think it's Robert Carroll, about Robert Moses, who put all of the authorities in New York City, the early days of the growing of the highways and the big municipal structures, and they were authorities. And what he was able to do with that was to create, he was the power broker, a huge sums of money.
And so for anybody that's interested in administration, that's kind of one of those really important books to look at, because it really talks about how you can, you know, it, kind of how it's possible to have the opposite of transparency, something that's really veiled. So my automatic concern, the word authority comes up and I go ding, ding, ding. What kind of safeguards are there for the communities that the wrong person doesn't get in control of these authorities and veil all kinds of property acquisitions and that kind of stuff?
And I guess for us, the best thing would look at our state or our the Port Authority. That hasn't happened, and that's been ongoing all, in this state for a long, long time. And so, and this is based after the Port Authority, but I do have people online that can answer more of those questions than I can.
And as a follow-up, yeah, anybody online when you're testifying, if you could throw in that kind of information and maybe have that 1 minute or two added to your time, that'd be great. Thank you.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Wilson, I looked at the fiscal notes. They all say zero on everything, so this is not going to cost the state a dime.
Not a dime.
Good job.
Representative Salmon.
I think he answered my question.
Okay. I've got one small question. It looks like you've got a provision for dissolving the entire authority if it came to that. How about if one entity wants to get out? Do you have a means by which?
You know, I'm not sure how that works. If someone's online that knows how the Port Authority works, I don't know all the ins and outs of that, but I'm sure
the Port Authority doesn't. I am familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
So if you model it after it, I'm suspecting it probably doesn't either. Would that be something that you would entertain?
Sure.
Representative Ledoux?
I don't
have any questions. Co-Chair Thomas?
No questions.
Well, I think we'll go off-site then. Thank you very much. Cindy Roberts?
Yes, sir. Mic's working?
Yes. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Should I go ahead?
Yeah.
I'm representing the State Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development and the Division of Community Advocacy this morning. My position currently is as the DCCED representative and liaison to the Denali Commission, and I've been working on this issue. The department is very pleased to support House Bill 392, introduced by Representative Wilson. The solid waste management issues are not specifically the assignment to the Department of Commerce, but we feel they're a key element in the commercial, human, and environmental health of the state's rural communities. As you may be aware, the solid waste funding is very difficult to come by in this state. Water and sewer projects over the last 15 years have benefited from a heightened priority and awareness, and the competition for dollars continues to follow that trend. And the rural communities are left pretty much to their own solutions to deal with packaging, construction debris, and household garbage. As Representative Wilson quoted, that the amount of material that often comes into our communities is a growing and serious problem. Because of the high investment, which she also mentioned, required to establish even a small landfill, every community, not every community in the state, there are many in the state which are operating with unpermitted dumps. And as they are as dispersed as our population, there are few opportunities to find any economies of scale to address this issue. The department feels this legislation is both timely and appropriate and the first step to create site-specific solutions which are sponsored and controlled by the communities themselves that are affected. The authority framework would allow the communities to join together and acquire land and the equipment and the operational manpower to handle their local waste in a fiscally sustainable and environmentally responsible way. As the state assists its coastal communities to develop economic and physical infrastructure to enhance the fishing industry, the solid waste issue lurks not quite out of sight, but certainly below the radar. These forces all connect when a newly extended runway services a turboprop aircraft taking prime fish to market. The mandated separation of runways and landfills and the bird traffic that follows the garbage cannot be accomplished in many locations. This authority structure will assist communities to bond for the equipment that will eliminate the bird and animal issues as well as protect the area watersheds. Even better, the multi-community authority can help finance the cost share match required for things like connecting roads, which could lead to a facility with improved economies of scale as well as improved operating procedures. In Southeast Alaska and other regions of the state, the authority option will reduce the export of dollars as well as their trash. Alaskans can handle and process and retain the jobs that this trash disposal represents. We salute the Southeast Conference for its work on this issue, and we support it for reasons of public health, environment, and the purely commercial side of it. We feel the legislation is a very good idea. And I have written testimony I'll give to the office here.
Oh, thank you. Will you take a few questions?
Certainly.
Representative Sisna.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And Cindy, I agree with you 100% on how important this is for not only Southeast, but actually the state. I mean, this is a real huge problem, and I'm very much aware of that. But I am really fascinated by this discussion on authorities, and I have vested interests because I'm actually looking, I'm interested in this for some other things that I'm concerned about. But I notice this whole business of the accountability of the authority itself, and I notice I've gotten to the place in the bill that it's talking about the fidelity bonds for the authority. So I'm working my way through, but can you are you the right person to ask, I guess, the question on maybe what the state requirements are for authorities and how the public is protected in what the what the authority itself does or doesn't do.
Through the chair to Representative Sisna, I was very pleased to see the fidelity bond clause in there as well. I'm not that familiar with the Port Authority structure. My connection with this legislation is actually through my assignment to the Denali Commission. Although I'm testifying for the state this morning, we were involved in helping the Southeast Conference do the research to decide which of the possible structure options would best suit the state. And certainly they have an example of the need there in their own region and quite a vested interest in solving this issue. In terms of how the Port Authority has worked in the state, Sharon, I really don't know. I think the example in New York City of, people letting power brokers be involved, I don't think we have to worry about here. We have a much more active democracy on any possible issue, but certainly bear some looking into.
Paula?
Thank you. That
was it? Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir. Thank you for looking at this legislation.
Next, we'll be going to Marlene Clark in Wrangell. Good morning, Marlene.
Good morning. This is Marlene Clark. Wrangell's my hometown. I haven't always lived here, but I am one of the few members of the community that try to recycle as much as I can in the limited way that Wrangell allows me. And Peggy, I think this bill has been long overdue, My only concern is the fact that a commission may try to find the quickest and easiest solution, which would be incinerating, and that will put a lot of toxins out into our atmosphere, which will go into our drinking water, the waters that we that live around us, and in our soil, which will definitely affect our wildlife and our fishing industry. So I am very concerned that the communities in Southeast Alaska need to have a very strong educational format on what this can, not only what this can do for them, but the safest and most logical way to do it, and maybe have some incentives to pass on to communities who sign up for this commission and do sort their garbage into the different recyclables, give them a money incentive to pass on to those communities that they can then pass on to their community members, and plus a strong, very strong education in recycling. My daughter lives in Corvallis, Oregon. Every time I go down there, she's telling me, don't put that in the garbage, that's recyclable. And I'm saying, well, it wasn't last time I was down. Well, it is now. And she has probably 2 pounds of solid waste that she puts out. She has, they recycle almost everything. And as far as communities being able to help their population rethink the way they throw things away, that might be a good community for them to get a hold of. I know that these are logistics that will come down to what individual communities are going to have to do if they sign up to be in this, but I'm very concerned about the type of disposal that this commission may come up with, and I certainly hope it will be something that will not poison our air and water. Plus, it will be very strong in urging recycling, and sorting of garbage, and some ways that we can get into a recycling process in Southeast Alaska or the state. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions for Ms. Clark? Thank you very much. Marlene McCandless. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. This is Valerie McCandless, and I'm representing the city today. And our city council has had the opportunity to discuss this issue and supports in concept the formation of the Solid Waste Authority. And we will also be addressing this at our upcoming council meeting. We think that it's very important that this issue be addressed. We're glad to see this legislation come forward, because it's very important that we as a state be proactive about dealing with our own waste, as in the future we could face not only increasing costs, but also the possibility that as landfills close in the lower 48, a difficulty in being able to transport this waste elsewhere. So we are very glad to see this come forward. We are following what's going to be happening as the changes are made in the bill. I do think that the suggestion that enabled a community to participate or to have a mechanism to withdraw in case they did deal with their issues locally, that's very important in the adoption of this bill. But overall, I think that being modeled on a port authority is going to be a very good plan here.
Are there any questions for Mayor McCandless? Other than Representative Thomas?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mayor?
Yes.
Representative Thomas, I've attended Southeast Conference for the last couple of years, and it seems to me this has been a priority, but how many regional port authorities do you visualize in Southeast? I know there's been an effort in CAKE to become the spot, and I was wondering how many people that you talked to think that they're going to have three or four, or they're going to have one in Southeast, do you believe?
In regards to the Solid Regional Waste Authority?
Yes.
I think that there are many communities that are interested in being considered as a site location. It's going to depend upon the different groups that join this authority
and the decisions made on what type of recycling that's going to take place as far as location. But I know that Wrangell and Thorne Bay and Petersburg also have discussed, you know, being a part of the solution of this problem.
Follow up. I guess that was my only concern, is that all of a sudden we have five of them when we can use two, or we can use, you know, we can, yeah.
And, you know, I would envision is that probably all of these communities would form one authority, although I see that the bill has the provision for individual communities to deal with their own issues if they chose to, but I think that there will be an economy of scale, and that it is likely that that this will be addressed as a regional issue.
Thank you.
Any other questions for the mayor? Thank you very much. Next we'll be going to John Bowling and Craig. Good morning, Mr. Bowling.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good morning. My name is John Bowling. I'm the city administrator for the City of Craig. I'm also a member of the board of directors for Southeast Conference, and I sit on the Southeast Conference Environment Committee, which has spent some time working on this concept over the last few years. Mr. Chairman, the City of Craig supports this legislation. It essentially provides an opportunity for communities to have another way to deal with solid waste disposal in the region. As was mentioned earlier, many communities ship their solid waste to large landfills in the lower 48, and I think there are some inherent uncertainties in that process, and this legislation provides a way for the communities to voluntarily band together to address those uncertainties, one of which is cost. Here in Craig, we pay $200 a ton to have our solid waste properly disposed of. That's up from about $40 a ton only 4 or 5 years ago. So we've seen a substantial increase. Part of our interest is to try to find a mechanism to control those costs and make them more predictable over the long term. I think this legislation can lead to that end. So, Mr. Chairman, again, the City of Craig supports this, and I hope the committee will agree to pass it on to the out of committee today. I'll be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you very much. I'd like the committee to know that we've also got Dennis Wheeler and John Waterhouse online for questions only. Dennis is from the RCA and John Waterhouse is from the Yukon Watershed, so if the occasion arises, they are available for questions. But I think we'll go into the audience right now, and I think we'll bring Kathy Wasserman up again. Always ready to testify on anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. All you have to do is ask me. I'm always ready to talk. Thank you. My name is Kathy Wasserman from the Alaska Municipal League. The Municipal League is in full support of House Bill 392. Probably the main reason, as a person who has administered cities and an old grant writer, a long-time grant writer who might be old to top it off, I know that any requests for money from the federal government, from the state government, or from any grantor requires the attempt to be regional. And this is an attempt by Southeast Conference to form an authority that would indeed be regional. I think it's in the state's best interest, being as this is what the state always pushes for, to certainly support this bill. To address what Representative Cisna asked about the authority, I certainly agree with her take on authorities. I think maybe the word authority might just be a kind of a buzzword, but I certainly think if it came time for the state of Alaska to write any book about power brokers, it wouldn't necessarily even include authorities. So I think that can be a danger for us anywhere, and we just have to be very we pay attention to our governments and to our groups to see that things that we don't wish to happen don't happen, and that's just part of responsibility to government. And as far as the woman who called in from Wrangell about safety and keeping our water and our air clean, smaller communities do not have the money at this point to keep their water and their air clean as it stands now. So I think only through regional means will they be able to do better than they do now. So as far as small communities, I think this is a complete answer to improving things. That's it.
Any questions for Ms. Wasserman? Oh, you got off light?
I know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lastly, in the room, we have Duff Mitchell. Good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, Representative Olson, co-chair, Representative Thomas, distinguished members of this committee. I'm Duff Mitchell. I'm the chief operating officer for Cake Tribal Corporation. We're a village corporation that's centrally located in southeast Alaska. We have about 23,000 acres. We have been working on solid waste management issues since 1999. We see some potential and some benefits, not only for us, but also for the region. Cake is currently a compost producer. We have about 7 acres that's set aside for taking fish waste and timber waste. It's not as successful as we'd like, but we're still working at it, trying to make it happen, working with DOT to maybe buy it so they don't buy stuff out of Washington, but that's another sidebar issue we won't get into here. But we've been working on this issue for a regional waste energy facility since 1999. We kind of brought out the concept of trash is not waste, it's energy. We have researched this. We've obtained licensing agreements for pyrogasification technology that was developed in Minnesota using rocket engine technology, but is deployed in Europe and in Japan, where waste reduction, waste energy, and environmental impact mitigation is a high priority. We see the current situation with our situation in southeast Alaska as a boat without any oars. We all want to do something, but we bounce aimlessly around of no synergies. We talk, and we see the authority as a mechanism to try to provide some direction, maybe not only just for our project. I mean, we want our project to stand on its own merits. Of course, we'd like the Waste Authority to give our project full consideration, but we see that the Waste Authority will be able to evaluate that and be able to look for a regional solution. As a member of CAKE, we empathize, and I want to follow Kathy Wasserman's comments. Small communities don't have the economic beef to produce a recycling program. They don't have the beef to even handle a permitted waste facility. And maybe with some of this waste authority, the synergies will be able to be there where larger communities with the economies of scales can help the smaller communities so that it works for everybody. So I see that as that this authority, you know, I mean, the downside of authority is that it could become bureaucratic, and you could have analysis by paralysis, and we talk about a waste thing 10 years from now, and it never happens. But that's the downside risk. The upside risk is the potential is that with organization, and you've heard from some communities, they're very interested in pursuing things and making things happen. Right now, we send all of our trash and our money to Washington. Those are jobs, and those are economics that could stay within our region. So with that, I see this bill as a mechanism so that Alaskans can help themselves take control of the trash situation and make a positive means to it. Thank you.
Representative Thomas.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Definitely. On this, I haven't read the whole through the bill here, but will it allow a regional corporation or a village corporation to seek bonding, or will you have to work with the municipality?
Well, we had some concerns about that because CAKE, the city limits of CAKE, which would be our proxy on a waste authority, that's a loose end there that I see with the current bill. I mean, as I understand, authorities are only set up for municipalities, and we're a private village corporation nonetheless, and an ANSCA corporation. We got 23,000 acres, and where we see this waste energy wouldn't be in a permitted or wouldn't be in a borough, or wouldn't be in a city. It would be on completely private land. So I don't know exactly how that would be. I mean, as it's been explained to me, this waste authority would be comprised of municipalities, and then they could contract with us or work with us as the private entrepreneurial end to develop this. So I've been told it doesn't eliminate us, but it also doesn't give us the ability to sit at the table as a waste authority member.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Sussman.
Thank you, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I'm listening to this whole discussion, it's a reminder that this is a very young state, and that we're doing what a lot of other states did some time ago, and we're kind of growing into this. And my questions were questions that the former bill that we looked at actually is talking to, and that is that vigilance part, the figuring out what it is we have to look at to watch, and you're looking at a way to do something that's really tough. Other states have done this, and other communities have done it, but we're only just coming into it now, right? I mean, it's the dealing with what is a real resource, the junk that we have is a real resource, right? And you're looking at ways to do it. This has, and I've heard of this, but this zeroing in on this authority is relatively recent in your thinking, is it?
Well, I see the authority as a mechanism or as an avenue to create the economies of scale. I will tell you right now that we've looked over the analysis. Juneau produces about half the waste in Southeast Alaska. Even if all of the other communities, and this is my opinion, banded together, they would not generate enough volume in order to really make something happen at an economical level. It's really going to take the banding of all communities. So unlike other places like in Washington or California or Iowa or Massachusetts, where you have volumes of trash, we have all these islands and spread apart, and we really have to work together to get the economies of scale. Right now, the answer is put it on a boat and send it down to Washington. You know, Craig pays an astronomical amount of fee. You know, if you have a larger volume community, you pay a lot less fee, but it's still very expensive. By keeping it and reducing the shipping costs in region and also creating the jobs in region and working together, we see that that money that's basically being exported to Washington are keeping it local. But going back to your question, you know, the economies of scale is a very important issue. That's a facet of the Solid Waste Authority in my mind. We have to band together. You can't have Wrangell saying we want to do one thing and three others say we want to do something else, and the other one says, well, geez, we want to do our own recycling program. I'll tell you right now, based on the economics we've looked at, it won't work. So the Solid Waste Authority, you know, is a consensus. It's going to force consensus building among the communities, because you're just not going to get the economies of scale without it. That's my opinion.
Nice. Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Commissioner Easton, do you want to go with your written testimony, or would you like to testify?
I'd be happy to maybe just give a summary of my testimony.
Perfect. Please join us.
Can I bring Ruth Hesse with the Department of Law up in case there are questions?
Certainly.
Just in case there are questions.
Whoa. Do a two-person case. I think we got room for Tim, too, if he...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Dan Easton. I'm actually Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Conservation. And I appreciate the opportunity to quickly speak in support of House Bill 392. As I mentioned, with me here is Ruth Hesse. She's an Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law. I would just start by pointing out quickly that Alaska's solid waste situation is unique. Probably a point best illustrated by comparing us to the state of Washington. The state of Washington has 6 million people, about 10 times our population. Their municipal solid waste goes to 21 different municipal landfills, or regional, large regional landfills. They serve several communities. In Alaska, where we have a tenth of that population, we spread our solid waste out over well over 200 different disposal sites. A difference, of course, in Washington with their transportation infrastructure, their ability to move solid waste around, they've has allowed them to develop regional solid waste management systems. And we support anything that would move or allow or foster the development of regional systems here in Alaska, at least where they make sense. We're never going to be like, at least not in the foreseeable future, like the state of Washington. The reason for that is that these larger systems, in general, when it comes to dealing with solid waste, bigger is better. These larger systems can take advantage of economies of scale. They're typically better funded. They're better operated. And they're less apt to cause environmental problems or human health problems. So we see House Bill 392 as an important step. It creates an option that communities may or may not exercise, but at least it creates an option. Hopefully will foster development of additional regional solid waste management systems in the state, and for that reason, and I guess for that reason, we would urge your support. And I'd be happy to answer questions, and again, if there are legal questions, Ruth would be happy to help.
Representative Sisto.
Okay, this is actually a question for Ruth, if you don't mind. And my question before on authorities and trying to safeguard them, and I did get to page 10, and page 10 may actually answer those questions in the authority subject to Public Records and Open Meetings Act, the annual report, and the audits. Is there, in your mind, are those, if we're looking at safeguarding the sort of the public overview of an authority, is that sufficient?
Representative Sisto, through the chair, I believe it is, and that's precisely why it's there in part to help that kind of oversight. We do have other assistant attorney generals that work on specific issues with respect to this bill. I was to assist Department of Environmental Conservation. If there's a question that you would like me to follow up with from one of our other assistant AGs that have worked on this particular bill, I'd be happy to, but that is there to provide open records.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much. We have one person online who's changed his mind and has decided to testify, John Waterhouse from the Yukon Watershed. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Waterhouse, and I work with the Yukon River Intertribal Watershed Council. And although this morning I can't speak in my official capacity with the Watershed Council as the Solid Waste Program Manager, I would like to add a few comments. I've read over the bill, and I've met with Representative Wilson, and I think this bill is the right direction. I speak to that from my experience working on the Yukon River. We work with 62 tribes up there, and of course you can imagine our landfill and solid waste problems are enormous. Similar to what they see in the southeast, we're pretty much a waterborne communities up there. But what I see in this bill is what we talk about all along the river, is everyone needs to work together. And we see it with the communities there where we can band them together and, of course, build their capacity to deal with their solid waste landfill problems and create solutions. We're seeing some success in St. Mary's, Pitcairn Point, and Mountain Village by getting the three villages together, the native councils and the corporations there to band together and build a common cause type landfill. And I think with this bill, it will create the capacity for them to really see success and push forward with the bonding issues and all that. So, I would say on a personal level, I like I said, I can't speak for my director. He'd probably kill me. But I would say that this is a grand bill. It's a good idea, and I certainly hope you folks will give it the consideration and pass it. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Waterhouse? Anybody else in the audience, please come up.
Mr. Chair and committee members, in my enthusiasm, I'm Marlo Poole. I'm with the Southeast Conference. I am their executive director. And in my enthusiasm for this bill today, I forgot to sign up. So that's why I'm last. And we're probably the reason why we're all here today. We pitched a grant idea to Denali Commission about 2 years ago for the concept of developing a language or an entity formation for solid developing solid waste as a regional, using a regional approach. And they liked the idea. They granted us some money. We went out and hired some consultants to put together a, to look at what other places in the country were doing, other places in Canada. And the typical thing that they found was the word authority. In the lower 48, it is a trend that as community landfills close down, several counties or communities get together and form an authority. These are basically public bodies that operate as a corporation, and they're totally open. They're subject to their voters in forming them. And so this is not a unique thing to Alaska. I think if you Google solid waste authority in America or U.S., you'll get probably 50 or 60 other authorities. And they're in big towns, they're in little towns. And some places are called by a little bit different name. Most of the words they use is the word authority. And these are typically public bodies that then have control over the operation. And as we see this, it's the authority then would go out and seek funding, grant funding, legislative appropriations, or loans. And they would be a separate entity from the communities themselves. It would act as a separate body. But they would still be subject to the voters of those communities. There was a question raised about opting out as an individual. If that community votes itself into the authority, and that community says, you will pay a solid waste rate, you will pay it. And I live in Sitka, and if I don't want my garbage picked up, they say, fine, but you're still paying $40 a month. And so you have, you know, I didn't vote for the sales tax, but I still have to pay sales. So I think there is something that the individual may not have an opportunity to opt out. You know, we look at this bill. We've been, our organization has been around for 50 years, and we are basically an advocate for communities, though we have support from businesses, from federal agencies, from tribes, private companies. We try and get people of similar interest to a table to talk on issues. And on this issue, we've had quite a bit of discussion. We have another grant underway that is putting together a regional plan to look at our options. And they could be anything right now. We're not going to be picking the plan. It will probably be picked by an authority. And we don't envision that Southeast Alaska would have 25 authorities. That would be pretty silly. That they would have one or two, possibly one, and that authority then would maybe work on selecting a site. But kind of the neat thing about this whole process is that, you know, we've had calls from Kodiak that are interested in talking to us. I mean, they are running out of landfill space. There's backhaul service available from Kodiak through Southeast Alaska. There may be some connections there, Cordova, Yakutat. As well as the other communities that are now well connected through barge service now. So we are primed, and this issue has come up in our region about every 5 years. And I think now people are beginning to talk about it, and we've done probably 24 plans in our region as communities and our organization to look at what can we do. And at the end of the report, it always says, yeah, we should work together. And you put the report on the shelf, and you go out and you do your own thing. The town where I live ships its waste 1,100 miles to its landfill. That's like Seattle to San Diego or Seattle to Denver. It's a long ways. And so we're looking at something that we can do regionally, create some jobs, gives local control to the process. And this authority then could create something, or it could say we're going to ship our waste out. But maybe as a larger group, it might be able to get better rates for some of the communities that are paying more. So anyway, we look at this as a good bill. We urged passage of it. We helped, we got some money to actually draft language for this. We took it to Representative Wilson,
and she was gracious to help run it through several state agencies to get them to look at it before it came to you. And we're glad that it's here. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that you have about our intentions or what we'd see.
Representative Thomas?
Thank you, Chair. Just a quick comment or question is that the major stumbling block that I've seen in talking with Cake and everybody else is infrastructure. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, to build a terminal to roll on, roll off the waste would be horrendous. So I was thinking, why not in this language demand or tell the Department of Marine Highway System that they'll allow the terminals in each, because every community's got a ferry terminal, to allow them to use that as a roll-on, roll-off, so you can go into some of these communities. So, you know, because I know it, looking at some of these communities that are talking about, you're talking $2 million for a bulkhead.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just tell the Alaska Marine Highway in the bill here, allow their terminals to be used for, because most of your trash, at least in Haines, that goes out is in a big van anyway, so you can just drive right on a barge.
I'm almost afraid to answer that because I'm not an engineer and the ferry system would object probably to anything I said. But I think that most of the towns have barge service. Now, you don't find it probably in Port Alexander, some of the towns that have under 100 people. But one-third of the trash right now is set to be shipped, is being shipped out of state that we produce in our region. It's already going south. We have the infrastructure in those communities to deliver it to the dock and get it onto the boats and barges in south. And most of the communities, I think, could use existing facilities. I mean, that's the first option, is seeing what facilities need help and maybe need some assistance to change that. And then you work with the barge companies to see what they might need. But, yeah, we've had it's interesting. We have had calls from some of the communities that have 50 people that are interested if there was a regional option in helping or being part of it. So we're pleased.
Just a follow-up comment is that a lot of the times it may be owned, those facilities may be owned by AML or FOSS. And again, rather than trying to get your trash out cheaper, you're going to, if they're not the company of tow that got the contract, the priority, they're going to, you know, I've seen this because I was in a fuel business. And so when we brought fuel into Haines, they charged us 30 cents a gallon and put us out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm saying that the Marine Highway System of the state should allow this in the event that they get out where they're, you know, they charge you too much to use the local facility. You know, not all of them own the you know, the roll-on, roll-off docks in the communities.
Well, let me respond. Representative Thomas, through the chair, I think, you know, I think the Marine Highway would be helpful. I mean, I looked at them, talked to them a few years ago about hauling recyclables on their off-season when they have capacity to a central location or two. They were receptive to the idea. And then you have to work with community groups to make sure that you don't give them, you know, dead deer carcasses and that kind of thing that roll on and roll off their ferries. They'll stop it really fast. But I think we can work with the agencies and the infrastructure in place. I think, you know, we're as close to doing something now as we've ever been. And as I said, it's been mentioned, we have about five communities that have come forward and raised their hand and said, we'd like to be considered for a site. There's a private company, Cake Tribal, that's interested. There was another company in Ketchikan. There's some synergy here, and it's kind of exciting to have something that there it just may happen. And this is, we've always got to the point, is what do you do next? You have to have some sort of a legal entity. Not one community is going to take this on by themselves. This bill allows the communities to work on this in a truly cooperative way and share the risks and the rewards, and also to control their costs.
Representative Newman.
Thank you, Chair. You stated, I had a concern that I asked Representative Wilson. According to my information, this prohibits an authority from levying any tax. And it had to do with kind of an opt-out situation. You said that that's not possible. And here's my concern.
Yeah.
Where, and this is happening actually in a community in my district right now, all over, is you've got a senior citizen who has a compost pile, burns all their paper trash, has one bag of cans and gets charged $40 a month. And maybe they don't want to belong to this. And here we have government saying, I don't care what you want, you're going to take it whether you want it or not. And I have a concern about that. maybe Representative Wilson.
Or the Department of Law or something.
It just seems conflicting where it says you can't levy a tax, and that's almost, in my opinion, a tax saying the government saying you're going to pay this.
I think that's where the municipalities come in. Each municipality has different rules. Some of them say if the garbage man comes and picks up the garbage cans at your house, you get charged. But if not, and you choose to get rid of it in some other way, then there's not. So I think I don't want to take away local control. And so it's depending. Each community has different rules, and I don't want to infringe on that, I don't think, at this point.
Is that through the chair?
Representative Newman?
Is that language included in there, Representative Wilson? I just want to, and I think you understand my concern.
The authority doesn't do anything except from the dock outward. And so what the community does is totally still the community.
Okay. I think that, through the chair, I think it's a pretty good bill. I think you really did your homework on that. I just was concerned about, maybe a senior citizen or who just doesn't do that much, but if this bill does not affect that person at all, then it's kind of a mute subject. Thank you, Chair.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Poole?
Thank you very much.
I think at this point in time, it's the intent of the Co-Chair Thomas and I hold it over till next week, and it'll give us a chance to sit down with Representative Wilson about several thoughts that we have that are definitely friendly. But I think on that note, I think we'll adjourn.